ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in. Happy Friday, March 15th. Dan Bartels alongside Evan Harkin and Grace McCarron. First time on Nosebleeds. Very happy to have her here. Bradley Byrne behind the board, holding it down for us. Thank you. Should be a really great episode today. As we said, March 15th, about halfway through March. And baseball, opening day, 13 days away in the big city of New York. So we're very excited around here. We'll get to the Mets. We'll get to the Yankees. Guys, first off, how are you?
I'm great, Dan. I'm really excited to be here in my rookie episode, and I'm super excited for baseball to start next. Next week's the Korea series, and then in a couple weeks is opening day for everybody else. Super excited.
Yeah. I'm pretty good, too. Finally, baseball season, you're starting to feel it, and nice weather outside. I said it before, don't have to talk basketball anymore, thank God. And I'm excited to see Grace's Rookie of the Year performance here today.
Yeah, you actually had a good segue, because that Korean series between the Padres and the Dodgers will begin before everyone else a week from today. But the Padres also got some much-needed pitching. Dylan Cease, about a few hours before they actually were about to depart on that plane to the Seoul series in Korea, they received Dylan Cease from the White Sox in return for prospects Drew Thorpe, Samuel Zavala, Jairo Iriarte, and Steven Wilson. So a pretty big trade. Cease has been a guy who's been on the market. A lot of teams have been looking at him. He has really good stuff. He was in a year that he could have been moved, but you know, people were looking at it. Was the price point too high? This is a great move for the Padres, Evan. How do you see it all going down for them this year?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great move for them. You know, Blake Snell, a guy that he was their ace. Now he's not going to be with them most likely anymore. He's still roaming around in free agency. But Dylan Cease, like you said, a guy who's known for his stuff. He didn't have great numbers last year, 4.5 ERA. 1.4 whip, which is not bad at all. It's pretty good. That's 38th among starting pitchers, but that's what they need. They need another arm they can rely on. They can rely on if they hopefully get to the playoffs for them again this season. So this is exactly what they needed, especially in the absence of their ace.
Yeah, absolutely. Dylan Cease has great stuff. Even he didn't really show it last year, as you said, Evan, but he was the runner-up for AL Cy Young 2 years ago. Yeah. 2.20 ERA in 2022. Went up quite a bit, 4.58 in 2023, but I think this is a great pickup. Definitely the Yankees could have used this, I think. I think they're probably a little unhappy that he's off the board after the news this week, but I love this for the Padres. I think this could be really interesting in a team that should be good this season.
Yeah, the Padres are going to be a team that now can maybe compete with the Dodgers, because you looked last year, especially in the 2022 wild card, that team was really good, that Padres team. And then last year, they really fell off, similar to the Mets, like what happened kind of year. The Mets are kind of farther behind than the Padres, I would say, in terms of talent, and that's why I think the Padres are really going to make a move and make a challenge for the Dodgers this year, which will be very, very interesting. Other things around the MLB to kind of talk about, we could start with just spring breakout. Day one was yesterday. We saw Paul Skenes, the number one overall pick, taking on the Orioles, Pirates versus Orioles in the spring breakout. For anyone who doesn't know, spring breakout is kind of the time you get to see all these prospects who you normally wouldn't see on the opening day rosters, or some of them you may will, but they get the chance to show. And last night, Paul Skenes put on a show, 101, 102, 103, battled it out as they ended up beating the Orioles. The Pirates ended up winning. Grace, I'll start with you. Paul Skenes, Jackson Holliday, spring breakout. The Mets actually played their spring breakout game today against the Nationals, actually right now. But what have you seen kind of just from this up-and-coming prospect pool that we've seen? Paul Skenes, so good at what he does. Jackson Holliday, so much hype around him. And we got treated to a really good game last night.
Absolutely. I love this concept of the breakout games. Like, I think this is great. This is really what the game is all about to me, is seeing the young guys face off. I was reading an article before, the Pirates and Orioles face off for like a three-game series this year. It's unlikely we're going to see Paul Skenes and Jackson Holliday face off in the regular season, just because Holliday is trying to break camp, and Paul Skenes probably is not going to start the year in the majors. But that was just, it was so fun to watch that, to see what's up and coming. And then for the Mets today, they have four top 100 prospects: Jet Williams, Luis Angel Acuña, the younger brother of MVP Ronald Acuna Jr., mm-hmm. Drew Gilbert, Ryan Clifford. I'm super excited to see all these guys, and especially on teams like the Orioles, who have all of these super young players. After so many years of really not being anything as a team, I'm excited for them to like get going and start making that a team to watch.
Yeah, really cool concept, because you don't get to see these guys the way you do in other sports when they're right out of the draft. They go to the minors. You're not going to watch them play for 2 or 3 years. So it's really cool to get a glimpse of the players you're getting from the draft right after when all that buzz is happening. But for Paul Skeens, I mean, that's something
scary. He's the real deal.
It's something scary. I wanted to read something right here. Started off the night with a 3-pitch strikeout, 101, 101, 102.
Oh, that, yeah. He never,
that
oh,
was
that's
the first
still
at
ridiculous.
Bat. I mean, you can't even touch it. And the thing that separates pitchers, we know, is big velocity, guys that can throw 100. And then I thought this was really interesting. How he struck out Jackson Holliday was with a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. So I don't know about intentionally, but definitely took some off of that fastball, kept it straight. So something you don't usually see, especially at a 21-year-old.
There's always that conversation, like, in terms of taking the number one overall prospect, especially in baseball. Do you go for the position player because you can move him around, kind of a shortstop type, maybe he'll go to the outfield? Or do you go after the pitcher, which is obviously more risky? Paul Skeens, he's what you get. What you see is what you get with Paul Skeens. He is absolutely living the dream right now, and he's really performing very well. Other spring breakout games, I guess, around the MLB, Marlins and the Cardinals will play. Mets, Nationals, as we said. Padres and the Mariners at 4:10. White Sox, Cubs, and Giants and Athletics on ESPN+. Those should be some great games as they continue throughout the week. A lot of great stuff out of the MLB. And another thing out of the MLB, just kind of wrapping it up, yesterday the MLB The Show rankings came out, which is also something that's kind of, you know, it's a great game. Some people have their gripes with the game or whatever the case may be, but it's always a good game for baseball fans and seeing where these guys rank up in terms of national rankings. And in terms of these rankings, guys, have you guys seen anything that maybe turns your head a little bit? Top 10 players, Shohei, in terms of just 99 overalls, mm-hmm. let's go, there's five. Shohei, Mookie, Acuna, Judge, Trout. Seager was a 98. Is there anyone on that list maybe that should have been a little higher, lower, you know?
This has got to be like a we respect Mike Trout.
Right, yeah.
To give him like a 99, right? Like, I like how 2K doesn't do it with LeBron. Madden didn't do it with Brady. I mean, Mike Trout, he's obviously above a 90, but he's not 99. He's not 99. Acuna,
no,
Mookie
no.
Betts, and Shohei and Judge right now. It's not Mike Trout's MLB anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess they're thinking he'll have an MVP season. I don't know.
Maybe he will.
He could. And it's interesting, the life after Ohtani, if you're the Angels, because there was an interesting piece in The Athletic this week just talking about how there's not as much media attention anymore. Like, he was the talk of that spring training last year, and everyone was so excited to talk to him, but there's also things inside the clubhouse that we don't even realize. He would bring sushi into games all the time, and that was the biggest question out of Angels camp. Is there going to be sushi now that Ohtani is not here? And actually, the answer is yes, because there are some players on the team who do like sushi, but he also brought in Japanese Wagyu steak, like, often. So they really respected Ohtani. It's going to be different if you're the Angels, and I guess we could kind of talk about the AL West. Grace, how do you see it in going down in the AL West? Because the Angels, Ron Washington, so excited about this team, but you also have the reigning World Series champions in that division. You have the Astros. How is the AL West going to shape down this year?
I mean, I'm struggling to rule out the Astros, you know, going to the World Series. Every year they seem to be really, really good. And we can't get rid of the Astros ever, so I do have them winning the AL West. Mm. The Rangers, I think, are also going to be very good, but I don't know. I felt like last year was some kind of, like, miracle run for them, and I just don't know if they can get past the Astros again. But for the Angels, going back to them a little bit, I mean, I don't see them being very good this season, but I did get to go to an Angels game in August of 2022, and obviously Ohtani was on the team then. He actually started that game, and he was in the batting lineup, and that was a great time. Like, I feel really bad for the Angels that he's gone. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for them for many reasons, but I really feel bad for them that Ohtani is gone. The stadium, which I really loved, was like a shrine for Ohtani and Mike Trout, and I just don't know how they're going to recapture that aura that they had. Obviously, Trout is still there, but he's aging and not the same player as Ohtani is. So I'm interested to see what happens with the Angels overall.
Yeah, I never even thought about your point, Dan, about the media coverage, and it made me realize how, like,
parking
crazy
too
it is. How big
yeah,
it, like, I have heard not a single peep about the Angels this entire offseason. Last season, like you said, all you do is get flooded with Ohtani news. Right. Oh, I said earlier, I got Ohtani so famous, I got a notification that he got married. Like, they sent everyone in the world a notification that he found a wife.
Woo.
Good for him. But yeah. In terms of the AL West, I totally agree. You can't get rid of the Astros, but I think the Rangers are still going to be up there and still be serious. I believe only one player on the infield of the AL All-Star team last year was not a Ranger. That's how stacked just the infield alone was for the Rangers. But up and down, this lineup might be one of the most talented in the MLB. Definitely one of the most. I think it's going to be one Rangers, two Astros, and I think it's going to be close because, like you said, the Astros have just been up and down the playoffs so many times. They know how to get there. They'll find a way. And once they're there, it's hard to beat them.
Yeah, the Angels, they'll be interesting. The Rangers, you're 100% right, Evan. They'll be in the mix. The Mariners, don't forget, too.
Oh, yeah.
With the Rangers, I think it's just their pitching help. DeGrom, Scherzer, we've been through that in New York forever. How long? Yeah. When will they return? So those three teams, Rangers, Mariners, Astros, definitely watch them in terms of making the playoffs in the American League. Also making the playoffs in the American League. You can look to the AL East because – Evan, you're a Yankees fan. You live and die by this division, and last year it was the toughest in the league, and I expect it to be the toughest again. How do you see it shaping down? Top two teams, Yankees, Orioles, I imagine. Who do you see taking the top?
Orioles.
Okay.
I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm telling you, the Orioles are so legit. It's scary, and they have like 8 of the top 10, top 50 prospects, too. They've got everything. They did the baseball tank right, being bad so many years, because it's panning out right now. I'm going Orioles a lot because of the Yankees' injury struggles that we see with their enormous old players. I mean, you have a team full of oversized baseball players that are overage, mostly. A lot of injuries happen. You see it from Garrett Cole, but the Blue Jays are going to be all up in there, too. So
will.
Are the Rays. The only team that won't is the Red Sox. There's no fear in them. But like you said, everybody's going to be everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the Orioles got better, too. They got Corbin Burns this offseason. That's huge for them. We were saying before how they have all these really awesome young players, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. And obviously the farm system is also interesting. Jackson Holliday eventually going to come up. But yeah, I'm absolutely taking the Orioles in the AL East. I do think the Yankees are going to make it hard for them because if the Yankees get healthy, then they will be a threat. I don't know if I'm calling them to win the World Series just yet, but I think they are going to be very good. Soto, Judge, Stanton, if he's better than he has been. If the pitching, if Garrett Cole specifically is healthy and himself, if the other pitchers, Rodon, Nestor, if they're better, then this will be a very good Yankee team. Certainly better than last season.
Oh, definitely. Well, you could hope after last season. I mean, geez. I don't expect the Rays to win 99 games again, Evan. I don't think that'll happen. The Red Sox will probably be the bottom of the barrel again. Yeah. But listen, that Blue Jays team, like Votto, Daniel Vogelback hitting, you know, you love to see that. But I think they're good. You know, people write off like Alek Manoah, but I think their rotation is good enough. Bassett's a baller. Kevin Gausman's a baller. Like, there's going to have to be a year. We talk about the Padres when they just click. They're too good to not click. So I don't know if that'll be this year. It'll be interesting. The Yankees will get to their struggles and their injuries. But, yeah, you talked about, Grace, the addition of Corbin Burns with the Orioles. People forget they got Craig Kimbrell, too, out of the pen.
Yep.
It was going to be Josh Hader, but, I mean, geez, you go from, like, another Hall of Famer to another Hall of Famer. Yeah. It's just the Orioles are loaded, and they're a scary team to watch. AL Central, probably the worst division in baseball, will be very top heavy between probably the Twins and the Guardians, excuse me. Grace, I'll start with you. How do you see this division going down? Because you had two teams last year that lost over 100 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Orioles and the White Sox. So pretty top heavy for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that this could be a confusing division. I think that of both Central divisions. But I think the Royals could, I don't think they're going to win the AL Central. I think the Twins are going to win. I think they're a very talented team, especially with Byron Buxton. But the Royals did spend over $100 million in free agency this year, which is unlike them. They gave Bobby Witt Jr. that huge contract for like 11 years, $200-plus million. I think that they could be up there. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they could surprise some people.
This is like the graveyard division. Like, oh, my gosh. I feel bad for any team in this division. But I think the Guardians are a little bit better than the rest of the teams in this division. I think J-Ram, obviously, they have the star over there. They have a lot of like contact hitters. They have an identity. They like to contact hit. They pitched for you to hit a ground out, hit a pop out. They pitched a hit. They have an identity. Stephen Kwan in there. They have a lot of guys that know what the team's trying to accomplish, and I feel like a lot of these teams just don't in this division. So yeah. I think it'll definitely be them or the Twins, but I think it'll be close, and I think the Guardians will pull it out.
Yeah, those are some good takes from the American League side. Let's flip it over to the National League and focusing on that. We'll start in the NL East. Mets going to be a tough division as always. You got the Braves in there. You got the Phillies. Grace, I'll start with you as the Mets fan. Always a tough division. Mm-hmm. Braves are really good. How do you see this going down?
It's not looking great for the Mets, Dan. I'm not feeling great about this. Definitely, unfortunately, and it pains me to say this every single year, but I am taking the Braves. Yeah. And I think the Phillies are going to finish second because the Phillies are also really great, and they always seem to get this like magic in them, which propels them to the playoffs. They made the World Series 2 years ago. They were in the NLCS last year. But the Braves are on paper just so good. Ronald Acuna Jr., Spencer Strider, two top rankings in MLB The Show. But it's just every single year the Braves are there. The Mets, I fear about them, honestly. This might be a down year, but we'll see what happens. This could be an interesting division, though.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the Braves division. They're the safe pick, most talented team. But I think the Marlins are going to be a lot better than a lot of people think. They showed it last year. They were up and around the top for a little bit, dropped a little bit towards the end. But
made the playoffs, too.
Yeah, made the playoffs, too. I mean, Luis Arraez is obviously one of the best hitters in baseball. Nobody hits 400 since, like, the 1950s for a whole season. So it's awesome to see. I really like this Marlins team. I think they might finish second. I might put them over the Phillies.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I think they're a lot better than people think.
Hot take alert here at WFUV. I love it, Evan. I think the Marlins are a really good team. They'll be interesting. As much as it pains me, they could finish above the Mets. I don't know if they could finish above the Phillies, but I do like that pick because it's always a tough division.
They got the guys.
Oh, man. Yes. Really tough division. Braves, expect them to win it. Let's flip it over before we touch on one of our favorite divisions, but we'll focus on the National League West first because if there is a division in baseball, we talk about the Braves maybe just winning the NL East. NL West, can we all agree the Dodgers are likely going to win?
Yes.
You know, I don't know, but if anyone else has any other picks. Nope. Padres, Giants, sneaky, Diamondbacks just went to the World Series. Can't forget that. Yeah. But NL West, Dodgers slated in. NL Central, guys. And Grace, you like this division. I like it too. A lot of interesting stuff here. How do you see it going down? I'm just going to start with you.
I'm going to go with the Reds winning the NL Central.
Whoa.
I think the Reds could be a really fun team.
I'll take it.
Lots of young talent. Ellie De La Cruz might be the best player in baseball one day. They led the league in steals last year. They had 11 guys hit double digits in home runs last year, and they still didn't really have that great of a record. I believe they were two games above 500. But I also think the Cubs are going to make it difficult because they were really interesting last season, and the Cardinals could also improve. There's really a lot going on here, but I do think it's going to be the Reds to take the NL Central.
It's interesting.
I like that. I think the Reds are going to have a little bit of a breakout year, too. I'm going to put them at two. I'm going to put the Cardinals at one. I feel like they got the best roster. They have the best rotation to go with it in the NL Central. So, yeah, give me the Cardinals, but I do think the Reds are heating up.
Yeah, Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers probably at the bottom. Pirates don't watch out for, too. They're sneaky. Yeah. Got old Neil Cruz back. They got some really good pieces over there. Very interesting stuff. Always love to do that before the season begins. But before the season begins, we also have to talk about the Mets and the Yankees. I'll start with the Yankees. Recent news of this past week, every Yankee fan is very upset hearing the news that their ace, Gerrit Cole, is going doing an MRI, having the same doctors look at his arm that Ohtani had. And obviously, Ohtani is dealing with surgery now. So, Evan, very tough news if you're a Yankee fan. Yeah. What is the next step?
We got to get Blake Snell. You got to get Blake Snell. Yep. I mean, that's the only ace left out there. And this rotation's bad without Gerrit Cole. Like, it's not okay. It is bad. I don't think Rodon is going to be anything better than he was last year. I haven't seen anything in spring training that would say otherwise. I think the first pitch he threw was a home run.
His first
pitch in spring training got rocked for a home run. Nestor Cortez, a guy who I think actually got a little worse due to the baseball rule changes, the pitching changes, because he's a guy that likes to mess with the hitter's speed. That's his thing. So when he can't do that, when he has to get into the box at a certain time, you could see the drop-off in his ERA. Obviously an injury last year, too, but with Gerrit Cole, I was so happy it wasn't Tommy John, though. And, like, as a Yankee fan, but as, like, Gerrit Cole is just like such a nice, such like a hard worker. Like even when the team was awful, he's putting in work every game, going nine innings. So it's really cool to see him only having to miss 1 month. But if you're the Yankees, you got to go get pitching because the innings can't wait. You're not going to win every game 11 to 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Now if Dylan Cease off the board going to the Padres, I think they have to get either Snell or Montgomery. I know they're asking for a lot with Scott Boras as their agent. The fact that especially Blake Snell not being signed and the season starts in 2 weeks is crazy to me. I don't know what they're asking for, but apparently it's a lot.
Yeah.
But the Yankees do need a pitcher. Like, it's
just pay it.
There's too many questions. Nestor, you said a lot of questions health-wise with him too. Stroman, I think, will be good, but I'm not looking for him to be like an ace caliber pitcher. Rodon, question mark. Like, there's just a lot going on here that I'm not really not feeling inspired by this Yankees rotation. So I think if they got Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, that would certainly help them a lot while Gerrit Cole is out.
Yeah. You're not loving Stroman yet?
I'm not loving him yet. I think we're great things. I think he's going to be in the middle of our middle rotation kind of guy. Hopefully he's under a four.
Got rock the other
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, you know, Yankees injury concerns. Another one, slightly but not as concerning, Aaron Judge had abdominal imaging that came back negative. He won't swing a bat till the end of next week. Obviously, Judge, the injury last year. I thought everyone's saying Cole is like this really big injury that's going to decripple the Yankees season. I'm kind of the opposite. If you keep Aaron Judge healthy, you guys will be fine. But again, to each his own. Juan Soto still being Juan Soto, Evan.
Yeah.
How do you see that whole situation going down? Because he is in a walk year. He can potentially just get up and leave. If he performs well, the Yankees want to pay him, obviously. But here he's turned down $500 million in his career. So where's the Yankees money coming from if they want to pay him?
Like, I don't know.
Right? I don't know. I don't know. Because, you know, Stanton is going to be an interesting piece, too. You can't bench the guy.
Well, Stan's contract is very backlogged. He makes less and less money every year from now on, like significantly less because of his age and everything. So a little bit of money would come from that. But I think Soto would have to agree to take a little bit less than other teams would pay him. So the Yankees got to prove it. Like, you know, you're going to let Juan Soto walk out of here or actually build a good team to take him as deep in the playoffs as you can? It's kind of like a tryout year for the Yankees for Juan Soto right now.
Athletes taking less money, Evan? No, they don't like to do that.
We were talking about it before. Oh, my God. Turned down $500 million.
Oh, man. Anything else on the Yankees, guys?
I mean, I'm really excited to see Juan Soto in the Yankees jersey. I think him and Aaron Judge and Stanton, if Stanton is Giancarlo Stanton, I think they'll be super fun to watch. Anthony Rizzo, too. They have a lot of fun players. Like, I'm excited about the Yankees. I think they're going to have a great season, but I am worried about this rotation very much so.
Yeah. A little bit on the older side, but you got Dominguez coming back, you know, middle of the year should be interesting. Verdugo, Grisham, like, that'll be an interesting conversation. Yankees, always interesting in the one of most interesting divisions in baseball. We will definitely follow them all year long. But focusing on the other side of town, the New York Mets named their opening day starter Jose Quintana. Spring training's underway, obviously, for both teams. There's been some good signs out of spring training. In terms of Luis Severino, he's been pitching very well. Kodai Senga's obviously out to begin the year. So I'm going to ask you, Grace, out of all these pitchers in this Mets rotation, who are you most excited about, and who do you think could maybe make the biggest difference?
I think I'm really excited to see what Quintana has to offer after he had a good season last year. I'm excited for him to start opening day. I think that's absolutely the right move after Senga went down with the injury. I'm excited also to see what Sean Manaea has to offer. I think he's too good to be a mediocre pitcher. I think he'll be a solid three or four in this rotation if everything goes to plan, but I am definitely very excited about Severino's spring. Like, that makes me very happy, especially he's like a really nice guy. He seemed to have a confidence problem last year along with all the health issues he's battled, so I really hope he can come back and be really good for the Mets.
Yeah, I think if they have a wild card, it's definitely Luis Severino. And I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. I was actually trashing Luis Severino as a Yankee fan. I was like, oh, his velocity's dropped 5 miles an hour post-injury, but you're seeing it creep up a little bit. So you're really seeing that injury was lingering longer than it should have.
Yeah, he's touching 98.
Yeah, back up to 98, and that was his issue. I mean, he's a pitcher that relies on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. He's not going to get away with – he doesn't have the breaking balls to get away with throwing 95, which when he came back from the injury, he pitched like three straight home runs to the Astros, and it looked like someone was pitching in the home run derby. I was like, what the heck is going on? It was like meatball, meatball, meatball. Right. And then he ended up having like a 7 ERA within the next month. But why I say he's a wild card is because before that, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball for a year. Mm-hmm. He has a career 3.7 winning record. I mean, this guy's a winner if you can get him back to the old him. So definitely some diamond under the rough there for the Mets.
Yeah, they were looking at sleep doctors with him too. Apparently sleep's been a big issue in Severino's life. Little things like that go a long way. Other things with the Mets, third base situation will be something that we watch. Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty. Grace, who do you think is going to be the obviously, right now it seems to be Brett Beatty, but we've seen struggles throughout Brady's career. He's not perfect. No one is. But could you see Mark Vientos maybe getting some reps at third base, maybe, dare I say, stealing the position away from Brett Beatty someday?
I think they're going to mainly focus on Brett Beatty at this point, but I think Vientos could compete for the third base job. I mean, we saw some defensive struggles from Beatty last year, which you don't really want to see, especially because, I mean, the Mets are used to having David Wright at third base for all those years, and he was wonderful, and we miss him terribly. But I do think Brett Beatty could improve a little bit. I mean, he is still young, so is Vientos. So I think, and I also, like, I think they will improve, A, and Joey Wendell having a veteran presence in the clubhouse. He's a third baseman, a little bit on the older side, so I don't think he'll be a regular third baseman for them. But I think having him as a presence for both Beatty and Vientos could be helpful in their development.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to stick with Beatty. I mean, they have very similar stats. 1.01 batting average difference, 211 and 212, which obviously you really don't want to see from a hitting standpoint. But I think they're going to stick with Beatty because he seems to be the more talented player. Although he doesn't have the hitting stats, he had a hitting presence of a guy older than him, you know, 24 years of age, one of his first seasons. So you could see that there is a little bit more kind of in there for Brett Beatty than there is in Vientos, but Vientos might be a more reliable option in the field. I think they're going to play through Beatty and make him better.
Yeah, third base is a position you would like to see, like, at a franchise cornerstone type thing, and that's kind of where my frustration is, because as far as I'm concerned, none of these players are a franchise cornerstone as of right now. I mean, I'd love to see that, but especially, like you said, Grace, we were so used to David Wright for all these years, and then, you know, it's just, it's not the same. So in terms of another franchise cornerstone, I do want to touch on the whole Pete Alonso thing really quick. How do you guys see this going down? He avoided arbitration. He's with the Mets for another year. But again, similar to Soto, it's a walk year for Pete Alonso. And all Mets fans know that that power doesn't grow on trees. So, Evan, as a Yankee fan, seeing it from the outside, could you see Pete Alonso leaving the Mets? And to where, may I ask?
I could see him leaving, but I don't think it's a money thing with Pete Alonso at all. I think it's a he wants to win thing. He's about rings. You know, if you follow Pete Alonso, you know he's a very competitive guy. You've seen the memes about the home run derby, the deadlift and praying before it. But like I said, he wants to win. He's a winner. So I think if he leaves, it'll be to a championship contender, a team that's a top team that is willing to give him a lot of money. But I don't think the money's what's in it for him. I think if the Mets can show him enough this year that they have the pieces next year, the year after, to make it a little further, or even if they surprise everyone and have a really good season this year, I think he'll stay.
Yeah, I think I can see him coming back to the Mets. Yeah. I'll be horrified if he leaves, because he is, I think he's the face of the franchise right now. I think he could be one of their best position players in franchise history if he sticks around. He's excellent. He's a great persona, too. And I think he's just very New York. Like, he loves the big stage, obviously, you said, with the home run derby. Mm-hmm. But I think what you said is correct, that he wants to win. He should not be like a Mike Trout who sticks around with the original franchise just because of like a loyalty thing, which is nice, but I don't want that for him. I don't want him to keep losing. But that said, I think they need to keep him. I think it's like prioritize that next offseason for them.
You talk about the Yankees or the Mets surrounding Pete Alonso. I think he has to do his part too and show the front office like, hey, like I'm willing to stay. They've talked about it. Like David Stearns has said, like, hey, if Pete shows us he has a big year, you know, we only want to bring him back even more. So it'll be interesting. Also, just last thing, JD Davis is a free agent. He was once a Met. We talked about the third base position. Could be an interesting pickup to watch out for again. If it's All-Star break, Evan, and Beatty and Vientos are batting 150 or, you know, like 200, something not pretty, you got to start looking at those decisions. And if the Mets are in it and the trade deadline's coming, JD Davis could be an interesting pickup for the Mets. I don't know. Wouldn't it be nice to have JD Davis back?
I mean, I love a good reunion. Like, that would be a really nice feel-good story, especially if the team is dragging a little bit. I don't think this is like a you have to get JD Davis type of situation. I think it would be nice to get him, like you said, at the trade deadline, if that's what it comes to. Like, that would be fine with me. I wouldn't be mad about it. I know some people online are like, don't get JD Davis back, and I don't get that. Like, he could be solid. He's not going to be a star, but he could be solid, and it would be nice to have him back, I think.
People were upset he couldn't hit a fastball down the middle, which is true.
That's
to
a fair
credit.
Thing to be upset about, yes.
Neither can Brett Beatty. So, at the end of the day, guys, that was a great episode of Nosebleeds, the second one of the year, I believe, on this WFUV Sports exclusive baseball podcast. Bradley Byrne holding it down, podcasting behind the board. Evan Harkin, Grace McCarron, my co-host. I've been Dan Bartels. And this has been Nosebleeds, WFUV's exclusive baseball podcast. Join us back here next week as we get ready for opening day, March 28th.